Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, the New York Times asks, why are so many Americans killing one another? We dive into that topic. And also, why are nine-year-olds being detained by police officers for not getting vaccinated? That and so much more. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Make sure you are subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast by taking out your podcast application. Wherever you listen to podcasts, maybe a friend sent it to you. In the upper right-hand corner, there's a plus sign. It means a lot when you actually subscribe to our show. It really helps us grow, flourish, and strengthen our show. If you want to support our show, we are building a new studio and adding more staff. You could do so at charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, where you can start a high school or a college chapter today. At Turning Point USA, we are focused on the education of the next generation to make sure your kids and grandkids live in a free country. We play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. There's a lot of stories I want to get to here. One story that I never thought would be controversial, but it's something that needs to kind of be built out, which is the intentional suppression of natural immunity. If you have fought through getting the Chinese Fauci coronavirus, you were infected, you got the natural antibodies, one would think that there would be an admission, an acceptance amongst the people in charge that you should be treated as if you were, quote unquote, naturally inoculated or naturally vaccinated. There's always been this push against natural immunity. There's never been an allowance for natural immunity for reasons that are quite obvious, such as trying to pander to Pfizer and AstraZeneca, Moderna and Johnson & Johnson and the pharmaceutical vaccine lobby. But also it's because they know that if they actually counted antibody tests and natural immunity, all of a sudden the power that the state has assumed would vanish and disappear. For the past 2,500 years, natural immunity has been the accepted response to viral infections. There used to be chickenpox parties when children grew up. I knew that when I grew up, I got chickenpox. Wasn't fun. Scratch yourself a lot, you take an oatmeal bath, and then you get it, you never get it again. And now they're pushing a chickenpox vaccine that some people say works, some people say it doesn't work. However, natural immunity when it comes to COVID, for whatever reason, has never been allowed to enter the conversation. CDC study, though, has come out that says natural immunity provides significantly more protection against COVID than just a vaccine. A study by the CDC released on Wednesday shows that those who have recovered from COVID-19 have more protection against infection than those who have only been vaccinated. Researchers reviewed data from California and New York from May to November when the Delta variant was dominant in the United States. By the first week of October, COVID-19 rates among the vaccinated with no previous infection were 6.2 times lower in California and 4.5 times lower in New York than among the unvaccinated with no previous infection. The individuals most protected against the infection were those that had previously had COVID-19. Now, they're adding this wrinkle where they say that, well, you're super protected if you're vaccinated and you get COVID-19. Really, is that a vaccine or an injectable therapeutic then? So CNN reports this, and they're trying the best to try to spin it because people like Aaron Rodgers and Joe Rogan have been saying, well, what about natural immunity? What about people that have got over the virus and they don't need to go take a vaccine? CNN was totally taken off guard by this. If you look at the medical industrial complex, they're pushing boosters, they're pushing vaccines on children. Well, the World Health Organization chief scientist comes out and says there's no evidence right now that healthy children or healthy adolescents need boosters. No evidence at all. Play cut 93.
There's no evidence right now that healthy children or healthy adolescents need boosters. No evidence at all. So this is why the SAGE, which is our technical expert body that makes policy recommendations, has been meeting and will continue to meet, will meet later this week to consider the specific question of how should countries think about giving boosters to their populations with a view to protecting people.
Now, according to Dr. Pierre Corey, here's where we think he thinks we are. And that's the World Health Organization saying that we should not vaccinate healthy children. Dr. Edward Ryan, director of International Infectious Disease Service at Massachusetts General, said we're close to 100% of the positive cases in Massachusetts are Omicron. Delta is almost completely gone from New England. This surge will peak sometime between now and the 21st, which is actually today. Today is supposed to be the end of the surge of Omicron, and then begin a quick downhill journey of 2 to 4 weeks. We'll then end up with a 20 to 50% positivity rate. February will be cleanup mode, and March will begin to return to quote-unquote normal. Omicron lives in your nose and upper respiratory system, which is what makes it so contagious, but it isn't able to bond with your lungs like the other variants. The increased hospitalization should be taken with a grain of salt, as most of them are secondary admissions for people like surgery, broken bones, or people who are tested for COVID. We won't need a booster for Omicron, he writes, because there wouldn't be able to develop one, and it's completely gone, and we're all going to get it, which gives us immunity, and we need to get through it. And according to Dr. Chris Martinson, who we had on our podcast, Omicron contains all the other variants within this. Dr. Chris Martinson and others have hypothesized, they've speculated, they've conjectured that Omicron very well might have been a naturally developed virus out of a laboratory as an open-air vaccine to try to get to the endemic phase. COVID will join four other coronaviruses we deal with that cause common cold, upper respiratory infections, RSV, etc. It will become a pediatric disease, it will mainly because affecting young children with no immunity. About 40% of those infected will be asymptomatic. Rapid tests are about 50 to 80% sensitive with those as symptoms. And we are fighting the last war with COVID, he writes. And there's no need to stay home from work or to be a hermit unless you're immunocompromised, 85 or older. And spring or summer, he says, will be really nice. Now, I just want to add a little bit of a word of caution. If you think Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, the lockdown artists, the World Health Organization, Klaus Schwab, Anthony Fauci, Bezos, and all these other people are just going to give up their newfound power because we enter endemic phase, you're mistaken. These people are going to find a new way to try and lock down countries, hold on to power, regardless of where things are trending. And this is where the citizen, not the subject or the serf, matters more than ever before. It's where the citizen needs to take their stand with their rights granted to them by God and not by government and demand that whatever construct they're living under backs off. And by the way, what I just read from is the director of global infectious diseases at Mass General. We're already seeing the cratering stock price of Moderna. We're seeing the cratering stock price of other vaccine manufacturers. Are we finally entering, after 2 years, the final phase of this? Are we finally entering the final phase where people are going to reopen their businesses and we could take masks off children? This is going to be the question, and I have predicted for a while there will be a portion of population that permanently almost never takes off masks and does not change this. They have a newfound identity in their hypochondria, their paranoia, their anxiety, that this actually gives them purpose. It might be ending, but will the control end? That question is up to the citizen. Towels are mostly garbage, They feel soft and lotiony in the stores, but you get them home and they don't absorb. Well, Mike Lindell and MyPillow found out around 2006 that towels change forever. They started importing them and adding softeners and other things, the cotton that made them feel good but didn't work. He found the best towel company right here in America. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. And they're all made with USA cotton, and they come with a MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. It's a six-piece set, two bath, two hand towels, two washcloths, made with USA cotton, soft yet absorbent, regularly $109.99, now just $39.99. Mike Lindell is a fighter. Check it out right now. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener special and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Enter promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425 for these great radio specials. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Do it right now. Boris Johnson has been a big disappointment. I've spent a fair amount of time in London and all across the United Kingdom. I love England. I love Scotland. Families from there. I love our neighbors across the pond. They have a different cultural approach to life, definitely a lot more, let's say, embracing of centralized power. They seem to be obviously more into a parliamentary system, not a constitutional republic system, but still they're part of the Anglosphere, and they do respect general principles of consent to the governed to an extent, separation of powers. I wouldn't say that they are strong defenders of freedom of speech or naturally granted rights. That's definitely not part of their history or their culture, but they're probably our closest ally, and they should continue to be. Boris Johnson is no Winston Churchill. Boris Johnson has disappointed at every single turn. The one thing I will say Boris Johnson did pretty effectively was finally agreeing to Brexit, finally agreeing to the United Kingdom getting out of the Eurozone and getting out of the European Union. And Boris Johnson, of course, took credit for it, where Nigel Farage, of course, was the driving force for that and behind that. And to give a little bit of credit to Boris Johnson, when he was mayor of London, he did end up supporting it when he saw the momentum towards the end. He did end up getting behind it. But it really was Nigel Farage who did all the heavy lifting. So the United Kingdom has been one of the most locked down and COVID crazy countries in the West. Now, the United Kingdom has been nowhere near as nuts as Austria. And we'll talk about Austria in a second. They are out of control. Give an idea of just Austria. I had this story pulled up here. Let me see if I can find it. Austria is – how extreme is Austria when it comes compared to North America? Austria's new compulsory injection law is as dogmatic as it seems. It's significantly more intelligent than mandatory injection policies in Canada. Pregnant women are exempt from Austria's compulsory injections. Yet across North America, we're told that it's not only safe for pregnant women to be injected with these new gene therapies. They continue by going to say that in Austria, you are not able to leave your home if you're unvaccinated. So we could go into some of the details of how Central Europe has just been totally screwing this up. Austria, the government is planning to slap all unvaccinated adults with fines of up to $4,100 beginning in mid-March. Austria to start fines for unvaccinated in March. Boy, those Central European, let's just say Germans and Austrians and Huns, they just can't help themselves, can they? They just, it's almost in their blood to try to clamp people down. $4,100 for being unvaccinated. But the United Kingdom's been bad, but not that bad. Boris Johnson has done multiple press conferences about getting boosted and multiple press conferences about how great the vaccine is. However, a couple weeks ago, I think a week and a half ago, I was passing through somewhere and I saw BBC on, which I don't make a habit out of watching, the British Broadcast Corporation. If you think our media is bad, BBC is like a wholly owned propaganda arm of the statists there. And so all of a sudden it said, Boris Johnson has to explain Partygate. And it's like, oh my gosh, what is this? Now, I know the Brits are big drinkers. That's kind of part of their culture. Sun doesn't come up very much this time of year. So they resort to drinking, whatever. And so, but there's this whole scandal that Boris Johnson would be hosting people at 10 Downing Street, which is basically the equivalent of Pennsylvania Avenue, that if he had all these people over and they were outside and they were maskless and they were having a good time. And in the United Kingdom, this is considered to be a scandal, I guess. I mean, I guess the equivalent would be kind of Gavin Newsom, French Laundry, or Nancy Pelosi getting her hair done when everything's locked down. But Boris Johnson played this totally differently. And I got to give him credit, to be honest. It's so nakedly political. It's so unexpectedly bold. And it's such a metaphorical middle finger to the BBC and to the media. It's hard to even process. So Boris Johnson comes under this scandal. Has rule breaker Boris Johnson met his match in Partygate, the Associated Press writes. So how does Boris Johnson respond? Does he come out and we must lock down the country again? Nope. Instead, he just opens everything up. And it says here in CBS News, England is about to drop virtually all anti-COVID restrictions. London, most legal restrictions to prevent the spread of coronavirus will be dropped next week. That's it. I'm under scandal. We're just opening everything up. It's there's no excuse for this, except it's just kind of awesome. I wish our leaders reacted that way. Our scientists believe that the Omicron wave has peaked nationally. The extraordinary vaccine booster campaign together that now we can open up the country. Okay, that's not true. You're under a scandal and you want people to live the way that you had your parties at 10 Downing Street. Honestly, I kind of respect it. I wish our leaders did that too. So Boris Johnson, you're no Winston Churchill, but I was watching Boris Johnson and for a moment I thought I was watching a fatter and a kind of English accent Ron DeSantis. I mean, he was like, we're no longer going to do mask mandates. We're going to open up our schools. A messier. Boris Johnson has that kind of English messy look, right? It's like the hair is never right. But good for him. And of course, all of Parliament kind of erupts. He says, starting tomorrow, all mask mandates are being lifted. Starting tomorrow, we're no longer going to have children being wearing schools. Connor says it's not an English thing. It's a Boris thing. I'll disagree a little bit. I sat down with Breitbart, their London operation, a couple years ago. And he said, you know, English people, they just have a tend to be a little bit more messy. I don't know if that's true or not. I think that's probably a generalization. So I want to get into a couple stories here. My goodness, there's so much happening. First of all, some breaking news. Let's start with the breaking news. A federal district judge in Texas has just blocked the last Biden vaccine mandate on federal employees. Breaking right now, just a couple minutes ago, Southern District of Texas, Judge Jeffrey Vincent Brown has upheld a suit from federal workers who are refusing to be vaccinated against COVID. The motion is granted as to Executive Order 14043. All the defendants, except the president, are thus enjoined from implementing or enforcing Executive Order 14043 until this case is resolved on the merits. So if you are a federal employee, you cannot be mandated to get the vaccine right now. It has been held up in court. Some breaking news. Texas has blocked the latest Biden vaccine mandate on federal employees. And so that's some good news. At the same time, though, I do not know what's happening in New York City. I'm going to play a tape here, and I'm going to keep my mic on while we do this, Connor, please. But let's contrast some things. Let's play this right here. Now, do we have the minute-long one? The minute-long one is pretty powerful. New York City. Eric Adams is supposed to be this great leader. Eric Adams is supposed to be this pro-police advocate. So in New York City, let me tell you what's going on in New York City right now. Every category of serious crimes, according to the New York Post, in the city is on the rise so far this year, with police data showing an increase of 35% in a total increase in crime compared to the same time in 2021. Jessica Seymour from Inwood, Manhattan says, quote, I don't go anytime after dark right now. Not safe. All my friends in New York are either leaving or they stay at home when it becomes night. A guy got stabbed and another guy shot right outside my son's window, said Seymour, whose boy is 7. We have 2 schools here, and this happens right here. My block has police on it all the time. There are shootings. There are drug dealers on our corner right now. The fear is real. Crimes are up. So what is the police force of New York City wasting their time doing? What is the focus of the New York Police Department that, of course, has our eternal respect after what happened with 9/11, but they've turned into an American version, and I do not use this lightly, of the Stasi. Play the tape. I'm going to narrate it, okay? So here you have right here at a museum in New York City. That is a 9-year-old girl. Now, I'm not trying to racialize this. Her name is Jyla. I think she is a black girl. Is that right? So this is a black girl being escorted right there by two masked New York City Police Department police officers. All the while, crimes, murders, arsons, rapes, sexual assaults are up. These two police officers are effectively arresting a 9-year-old girl. Why? Because she did not have her vaccine papers at a museum. These two police officers now continue and bring the 9-year-old girl into a squad car and put her in like she's El Chapo or Eric Rudolph or Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. You know, forget the fact that gang activity is up and robbery and murders are up. This is a young black girl that has been put into a police department car and escorted off. Where is Black Lives Matter exactly protesting this? Now, what's her crime? Her crime is not being vaccinated. This is happening right now in your country, in New York City, everybody. And we're going to post that on all of our social media. Put that on our Telegram, Connor. Put that on Twitter. Put that on Instagram. Put that on everything we have. That's happening in America right now. And the New York Times has this new article where they say, why are so many Americans killing one another? This is the New York Times. The New York Times finally wakes up and they weigh into, hey, why is it that murder rates are up like everywhere? So the geniuses at the New York Times, is this an editorial? Because it doesn't have an author attributed to it. They're like, hey, we have 5 ideas as to why there's a rise in murders. They say it's the pandemic or more guns in circulation. This is my favorite. Changes in police behavior. That's how they word it. New York Times says, another theory is that the fallout of the 2020 racial justice protests could have contributed to the increase in murders by curtailing police community relations. You think? Wait, you mean, okay, I love how they call it racial justice protests. You mean billions of dollars in damages and people dying? We call it Floydapalooza. It wouldn't be the first time that high-profile killings by police coincided with the spike in murder rates. Do you see how they connect that? They say it's the police fault. It's like, oh yeah, the police killed somebody, therefore that's why crime goes up. Which also Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, some observers call this phenomenon the Ferguson effect. Good for them for actually using a Heather McDonald term in the New York Times. Positing that the protests against police brutality had more officers more afraid or unwilling to do their jobs. But the Ferguson effect is a much disputed idea. Some crime experts have turned the theory on its head, arguing that high-profile killings by police make people, especially people of color, more averse to calling the police in the first place and to cooperating with them to prevent and solve murders. That sounds like a real – that's like a Nicole Hannah Jones-level spin or an Ibram X. Kendi. There's also a decline in policing. Yeah, you know, kidding, New York Times. This is my favorite line of the whole article, though, is that they go into social decay and they say – one of the reasons might be an increase in antisocial behavior. This is the best line of the whole piece. Where is it right here? It says, oh, here it is. Okay. Aside from the pandemic, the proposed cause of social decay include the decline in church and union membership, the rise of social media, and deepening socioeconomic inequality in a diminished welfare state. Wait a second. Church and union membership, that's what they equate. They say either you get your meaning from a church or from the local SEIU or the local American Federation of Workers or whatever. So according to the New York Times, more people are killing each other as we see increases in murders. The largest murder surges ever in Albuquerque, Indianapolis, Chicago, Los Angeles, ever. And the New York Times says, you know what the problem is? We have less people in unions. That's the issue. People don't feel connected to one another anymore. The New York Times decides to get into the solution business. They say, what's to be done? If pandemic-related factors are to blame, the problem may partly resolve itself as the pandemic wanes and employment levels rise. we know that's a bunch of nonsense. We know that there is a deterioration of the rule of law. There's an excuse for people murdering, stealing. In Manhattan, they're telling criminals you're not going to go to jail if you steal things. But if you're a 9-year-old black girl that comes out of a museum and you haven't been vaccinated, you'll be escorted by the police and put into a police car. What is that exactly? That is something that we diagnosed early on, and I'm very proud of our team and our program because we've been on top of this. Anarcho-tyranny. Anarcho-tyranny is the mixture of anarchy for the things that we find permissible and tyranny for the things that we do not. For example, if you want to go burn a Wendy's or if you want to go steal $5,000 worth of Gucci merchandise, that's fine. You're doing it in the memory of George Floyd. But if you're a 9-year-old girl that wants to go to a museum in New York City, we will arrest you. We will detain you. There's a lot of people out there that will just read for any company if the check clears. I simply won't compromise our values here on this show, which is why I made the switch to Undertak. They're the only men's basic brand that is unapologetically Christian, pro-America, pro-Second Amendment, and battle-tested by special forces. They put quality, comfort, and functionality first, integrating a quick-release fly, a secret pocket, and an extra-wide waistband into their design. Undertak uses top-quality fabric that is super soft, antibacterial, anti-pilling, and moisture-wicking. Undertak is durable, fade-resistant, and shrink-resistant. Here's the best part. They're about 30% less expensive than the competition, and they share your values. I'm asking you to support this growing company today. Right now, they're running a special for my listeners at GetUndertak.com. That's GetUndertak.com. Buy three, get one free with the offer code KIRK. That's four pairs of the same price from the competition. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. We need to support companies that put out quality products and share our values. GetUndertak.com. That's GetUndertak.com. Offer code KIRK. I know I'm going to get a lot of hate mail for this, but despite all the BLM and all that nonsense, I have kind of slowly but surely decided to watch a little bit of football here and there, and there are a couple athletes I really enjoy watching, including Aaron Rodgers. So I'm going to give you my picks for the weekend, and you guys can feel free to disagree. And some of you will be like, Charlie, why are you watching sports? Aren't they BLM? Yeah, look, I get it. Okay, I just love football. Okay, I can't stand the NFL. I think Roger Goodell's terrible. So you got the Bengals and Titans. It's a good game. You got the Bengals on the road. I love Joe. I have been a Joe Burrow fan since I first was made aware of him. That guy is cool as ice. I would not want to play against Joe Burrow. But it's on the road. It's on the road in Tennessee. With that being said, though, I like the Bengals in an upset on the road against the Titans. You heard it here first. Next, we got the Niners that are visiting Lambeau Field. So it's interesting. I actually grew up training with Jimmy Garoppolo, who is the quarterback of the 49ers. I know Jimmy. And saw him time to time as his career advanced and developed. And he went to Rolling Meadows High School. I went to Wheeling High School, not too far away. And they go on the road to Lambeau Field. So even though I know Jimmy, I'm going to have to say I'm pulling for the Packers simply because Aaron Rodgers has superior COVID protocols. So that's how I'm going to choose my winner of that. I was conditioned growing up to hate the Packers. I was trained to reject them at all costs. But Aaron Rodgers has been amazing. I think he deserves the MVP. Not for his performance on the field. That's been fine. But his courage to stand up against the medical industrial complex. I like the Packers to beat the 49ers at home. On Sunday, the Rams travel across the country to Tampa, Florida. Matthew Stafford finally won a playoff game. And he's from the great University of Georgia. And I like Cooper Kupp a lot. I think that he's a great story from Eastern Washington. He works super hard. However, I wouldn't want to play Tom Brady in the playoffs. That's tough to bet against him. I think the Rams are going to put up a good fight. I think Odell Beckham Jr. wants to finally cement his legacy. But with all of that, I think the Bucs beat the Rams in a dramatic fourth quarter slugfest. But I think that they're going to throw everything at it. Now, I'm a big Tom Brady fan. But Tom Brady has been in favor of mandatory vaccines and has kind of danced around that. So I've been kind of disappointed there. What does Connor say here? MUVP, most unvaccinated valuable player. That's Aaron Rodgers. I love that. Finally, Bills and Chiefs. You got Josh Allen on the road. That's his name, isn't it? I always get it confused. Is it Josh Allen? Yeah. He played for Wyoming, didn't he? It's an interesting. On the road in Arrowhead Stadium against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. The Chiefs have been a little rusty this year. They haven't been the dominant team that people have been used to. The Bills Mafia, God bless them. How many Super Bowls in a row did they lose? Four or five? Was it four? Man, what that does to your psyche to lose four Super Bowls in a row. I've always had a soft spot for the Buffalo Bills, truly. If you guys have not seen that 30 for 30 about all the Super Bowls that the Buffalo Bills, they lost four in a row. I think the Bills are going to go on the road, and I think they are going to beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium and shock the world. And those are my picks. I got the Bills, I got the Bucks, I got the Packers, and I got the Bengals. Feel free to disagree. If you're going to send me an email saying I shouldn't watch NFL football, then get a life. Okay, I get it. I don't like their protest stuff either. I love the sport, not the organization. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.